It is Thursday, April 25th. This is the Christian Commute. I'm your host, Seth Dunn, and you're riding home with me. But I won't be there long because I got to get in, hit the ground running. We got another baseball game tonight, among other activities. And as it went the night before, I got to get home and make up the time because I'm leaving work a little early. And let me ask you this. In the new world, in the new remote work world, can you leave work early? Can you get there early or late? I don't know. Like, it was pretty cool. Last night, I got home from the baseball game, and I was trying to make some queries. I was having a hard time of it. And it was midnight, or around midnight, and my boss wrote me, "Hey, I need this first thing in the morning. I need this report." I stopped what I was doing, hit the report, boom, send it to her in 10 minutes. I don't know if 10, 20 years ago my boss and I are going to be working at that time. But we were, and it's this real, people talk about work-life balance. That was a big phrase for accountants coming out of accounting school, because you know you're going to go work 60 hours a week, 50 hours a week during business season, and they say, "Oh, we have work-life balance." Now it's like, if I want to go to the ballpark, I'm going to go to the ballpark. But I mean, 50 years ago, I had to get up at 5 a.m. to get here at 7 and leave at 4. Now it's like, no, I'm going to get here at 9, and then I'm going to leave at 4, and then I'm going to go to the ballpark, and then I'm going to go home at night at 10 or 11, and I'm going to do some work. And I don't know, especially if you're a podcaster, that's really cool. So that's what I'm doing. Sorry, I'm just out here living my best life now. And I didn't even have to buy a book from Joel Osteen. What is it Shaolin said? If you're living your best life now, you're headed for hell. Joel Osteen's a false teacher. Who else? Joyce Meyer is a false teacher. Have you ever heard the song False Teacher by Shaolin? It's awesome. You should listen to it. They need to update it. Hillsong is a false teacher. Who else? Bethel Redding is a false teacher. Who else? Stephen Furtick is a false teacher. Stop playing their music in your church service. I'm going to stop trying to rap. I've lost half the audience. But anyway, I'm on the way home. Today's show title, and unless I can think of something else to say about it, is A Billboard Too Far, Part 4. A Billboard Too Far, Part 4. I have a question in the inbox about the Sabbath, or Sabbatarianism. Listen, I'm going to do this right now so I don't forget to get it. I'm not making this up. The question is from Philip D. Glass in Water Valley, Texas. Philip D. Glass in Water Valley, Texas. I don't know if he was born in Water Valley where you need to fill up D. Glass, but his parents did that on purpose. His name is Philip D. Glass. And there's actually a fictional Philip D. Glass that those of you who grew up in Chattanooga will know about. If you ever used to drive by the Tennessee American Water Company, there was a workman, like a cartoon workman, like made of billboard material, sitting on a water tank. And he's waving at the people driving by. And if you looked at his name tag, it was Philip D. Glass. But this is a real dude named Philip D. Glass, who's a listener to the show. And he's riding in from Water Valley, Texas, about the Sabbath. Sometimes you see people's names and you say, I see what you did there. When I was a sophomore, junior, I don't remember. When I was a junior in college, I had to take finance. Yeah, don't ask me to find any financial things for you with the formula. I guess I can do it in Excel. Don't ask me to do it without Googling it first. Finance is hard. And the teacher's name, he said his name was Dick Grayson. No, he said his name was Richard Grayson. I'm Professor Richard Grayson, and I sat there. And he kept saying, Richard Grayson, Richard Grayson. And finally, I was like, he said something about Jumpin' G. Willikers interest, Batman. Because Dick Grayson is Robin's name in the Batman comics. He's like, oh, somebody finally noticed. And every once in a while, he'd say something, and I'd be like, holy interest rates, Batman. I'm the kind of person to class of 300 people, and I'll just yell at, holy interest rates, Batman. I don't care. I will blurt it out. So, that's what's in the inbox. We continue in Luke chapter 1. Mary is going to visit Elizabeth. Remember I said the other day, I don't know who did what. I guess I could have remembered from, the next verse down. I said, I don't remember if Mary visited Elizabeth or Elizabeth visited Mary. I don't remember. Mary visited Elizabeth, which makes more sense. Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. She don't even be walking around Judea. Mary's pregnant at this instant. The angel has come. I guess she's pregnant. Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 41. Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 41. Now at this time Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to the city of Judah. Or to a city of Judah. Sorry, not the city of Judah. To a city of Judah. And entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. For the sake of making the Bible last longer, I'm going to run out of show one day, because the day I run out of Bible is the day I run out of show, and I've got 40 more, 50 more years to live. And I have 6 kids. I will be doing this job or some job until I'm 65 or 70. I don't foresee retirement in my future. I like what I do. I don't know what AI is going to replace me. If you have Microsoft Copilot, it's going to start replacing people. It is. Especially thanks to accountants like me, because I'm going to look at somebody and be like, Copilot can do that. Get rid of them. And one day I'll be the last one left in the accounting department. And I'll be like, Copilot, do my job. And then I want to leave. But I got a long ways to work. So I got 10 more years. I'm almost 10 years in. I got 10 years more to go, I guess. So I'm gonna milk everything I can out of every Bible verse. So we'll hear, Lord willing, tomorrow what Elizabeth said when she was filled with the Holy Spirit. But let's go back to the verse. Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country. Why? Because the angel just told her that her barren relative Elizabeth was pregnant. Not only is Mary like, hey, I'm a virgin. How does this happen? Not only is the virgin pregnant with the Messiah, she learns that her cousin is pregnant. She who was called barren is pregnant. So Mary's going to rush off to go see her relative. And sometimes we just read over something. Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to the city of Judah. That's a pretty specific detail. To a city of Judah. Luke is making the point to tell you where Elizabeth lives and where Mary went. He's giving you a geographic reference of a real place. When people talk about the veracity of Gospels, or even the apocryphal Gospels, which don't have veracity, people talk about something called verisimilitude. Does it sound like the people in the story belonged in the place where the story takes place? And does it sound like the author knows something about that place and that time? So Luke gives us this detail, providing a very historical account. He doesn't just say Mary went to visit Elizabeth. No, where? In the hill country. In a city of Judah. So he's giving you the region in Israel where Elizabeth lived, which was close enough for Mary to visit. I mean, Israel's not that big. So Mary's excited and she goes to see her relative. And we're going to find out what her relative says, Lord willing, on Friday. Do you have a question about Christian theology or apologetics? If you do, you can write to SethDunn88@gmail.com. Speaking of apologetics, here's a nice plug for you, Patrick and Tabernacle Baptist Church. As soon as I got in my car, I got a little email blip. I'm on the email list for Tabernacle. I don't know why. I guess it's because my children go to preschool there, so I get emails about their events. And they're having an ongoing Sunday evening discipleship series on apologetics taught by the pastor. So that pastor is teaching his flock how to defend their faith. Good for him. And what else would we expect from a graduate of the greatest seminary on the planet, New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, or as I like to call it to you, SBTS people, the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. All right, so good for Patrick. If you're local to the area, if you like this podcast about Christian theology and apologetics, which is not about apologetics a whole lot, there's only so many cults, Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and whatnot. I'm not going to cover them over and over. But if you like this podcast about Christian theology and apologetics, you're local to the area, go check out that apologetics series. Learn how to defend your faith. Exercise some critical thinking. And if you have a question about Christian theology and apologetics, you can write to SethDunn88@gmail.com. SethDunn88@gmail.com. I'm not just some rando on the internet. I have a master's degree in this. You can also dial 470-315-0875. 470-315-0875. The Christian Commute is your theological roadside assistance. Today's question, and it is the last question that I have, comes from Philip D. Glass in Texas. Why are more and more Christians celebrating Shabbat? And he references Black Hebrew Israelites specifically. Do you guys know what a Black Hebrew Israelite is? Okay. A Black Hebrew Israelite is a black person who belongs to a group of black people who believe that the Jews, like the original Jews, like Abraham himself, like the people in the Bible, were black. And they were displaced and became somehow the black people we have now, which come from Africa, not Israel. So they think they're the real Jews. And they are Black Hebrew Israelites. That's the name of their cult, and it's a cult. And they believe some wonky stuff, namely that Jews were originally black people and that the Jews we have now aren't the real Jews. But they obviously have that Jewish identity, so they follow the law. They're legalists about the law. I don't know how closely they follow it, but you know, dietary laws, how you dress, sort of like Seventh-day Adventists and Jehovah's Witnesses still follow some parts of the law, or at least in their mind they do. But if you've never seen a Black Hebrew Israelite before, just Google. Just get some wild stuff. Johnny Carson used to say, wild stuff. That's some wild stuff there. I don't even know if he said that. I'm old enough to remember Johnny Carson. But when he was on, I wasn't old enough to stay up and watch the Late Show. Da-na-na-na-na-na with Ed McMahon. That's really wild. But yeah, just look. You are correct, sir. Ed McMahon. I don't know if Philip is talking about them. He's just saying, why are more and more Christians celebrating Shabbat? I don't know. If I can't answer this question because I don't know if it's true, Philip. I haven't noticed more and more Christians celebrating Shabbat. And I don't know if Shabbat is something you celebrate, like a birthday or an anniversary, so much as it's something that you observe. So for those of you who don't know what Shabbat is, it's the Sabbath. So Shabbat is just the Hebrew word for Sabbath. It's the Sabbath day. Now, in the Old Testament, as some of you know, there were Sabbath festivals, Sabbath years, not just the Sabbath day. But Shabbat, when you're supposed to take, if you're a Jew, you take a Shabbat. All right, it's Saturday. I ain't working today, because in seven days God made the world. Or I'm sorry, in 6 days God made the world, and on the seventh He rested. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to rest one day a week. Okay. Jesus dealt with the Sabbath. People accused Jesus of being a Sabbath breaker. There's New Testament commentary on the Sabbath. Paul says that one guy holds one day up and another guy holds a different day up. The writer of Hebrews says Jesus is our Sabbath rest. So what you'll find is a lot of Christians don't even use the term Sabbath. And a lot of modern evangelicalism, we don't even use the term the Lord's Day, which is Sunday, which is sometimes called the Christian Sabbath. You guys notice the Sabbath is on Saturday, right? That's the Sabbath day. That's the seventh day of the week, but we go to church on Sunday. So whenever Christendom became a thing in culture, and it's been that, Christendom has been a thing in culture for a long, long time, we don't work on Sunday. That's the thing where all the stores are closed on Sunday. It used to be all the stores are closed on Sunday. I almost starved to death in Belgium on a Sunday because all the stores were closed in 1989. Everything's open now, but we don't give a lot of thought to the Lord's Day as Christians. We should probably give more thought to it. I've talked about this before on the podcast. But if there's a group of Christians out there saying it's Saturday and, you know, I can't walk a mile because it's Saturday, I haven't noticed. So, Philip, I really cannot tell you that more and more Christians are celebrating Shabbat or observing Shabbat. And what do you mean by that? Do you mean that there's Christians taking a day of rest? Good for them. Or do you mean there's Christians legalistically saying, like, we can't do anything on Saturday? Like, we can't go to the ballpark. That we got to be like Hank Greenberg, and we're not going to play on Saturday. Hank Greenberg, by the way, wasn't being a legalist. He was being a Jew. He wasn't a Christian. If you're not a Christian, I don't know if you can be a legalist. So can you be more specific, Philip? And guys, let me tell you this. Number one, if I had more questions in the inbox, I would have written back and say, can you be more specific? But I didn't have any, so I'm going to address it. You're going to come across Christians, false brethren like Seventh-day Adventists, and you're going to have to be able to defend your faith to them and put them on the defensive as a part of your ultimate evangelism to them. Because some of these Sabbatarian cults, like the Seventh-day Adventists, will tie you up in knots if you don't know both your Old and New Testament. You got to know the whole Bible. One day, Lord willing, we'll get to the Old Testament on the Christian commute. Don't know how I'm going to handle it. All right. Maybe I'll go back and get an Old Testament studies degree before I do it. All right. I'm not going to do that. I got too many kids. I'm not going back to school. Let's talk about A Billboard Too Far, Part 4. In Part 1, I talked about how First Baptist Church, or the elders from First Baptist Church, told me, don't come back to church services here. Again, don't come to your Sunday school. Don't go sit in the couch in the lobby and drink tea. Don't come to Wednesday night. We don't like the billboard you made. advertising whycrosspoint.com, which suggested to people that they shouldn't go to CrossPoint. And parenthetically, if you're not going to CrossPoint, maybe you're going to go to First Baptist. You know, that's pretty close. But anyway, they didn't like it. And they told me not to come back. The first episode in this series was about that. The second was addressing just a general question for us all. Should a church ever do that? Should a church ever tell somebody to come, don't come back? Leave and don't come back. Should they tell them like Gollum, leave and don't come back? What's the call for that ever, if ever, why or why not? Then the third episode was addressing, I'm not going to, somebody would, if I was speaking Christianese, I just wanted you to hear my heart about it. All right, but that's what I was doing in Christianese. Like, because people are like, why in the world, what's he doing? Especially people who don't regularly listen. If you regularly listen, you know I've been raising money for this. Somebody wrote me an email and said, you spent all that money on a billboard, you could have bought food for poor people. And I said, I raised that money. It wasn't my money, I raised it. Because people are going to say, Seth, you spent $1,100 on a billboard? Well, yeah, I raised the money because people sent it to me. People who believe in what I'm doing. I didn't just reach into my pocket to $1,100 for a billboard. It'd be cool if I did. Like Matthew, you got $1,100 for a billboard? That's all right. It'd be pretty cool if you did. Little Matthew, all right, all right, all right. Matthew McConaughey. Well, I'm doing a lot of impressions today. Some better than others. Not a great Gollum impression. Gotta keep the show lively. Especially if we're talking about something that some would consider uninteresting or boring. And it's not a show. And it's not a program. It's a podcast. It's not a show put here to entertain people. It's here to educate people and help us pass the time to edify one another. It's not a program because there's no programming. It's not, me and a bunch of guys don't sit around and plan it. I mean, I guess you could argue there's programming because we regularly do a Bible chapter review. Whatever. Doesn't matter. The third episode was so you could hear my heart. Like, explain why I'm doing this to people who are ignorant and otherwise wouldn't understand. Now this fourth episode is to talk about, like, why was I even in the crosshairs to begin with? Okay. And I'm going to try to do this without getting angry or condemning a bunch of people. Or here's what I'm not telling you to, like, go badmouth First Baptist or anybody there. I'm not telling you to go be argumentative. I'm informing people because I think a lot of people would want to know this. Why were those elders even paying attention to me in the first place? I've been sitting there in Sunday school for 5 years, not bothering anybody, just going to my Sunday school lesson, dropping my kids off and coming back. Like, why would they pay special attention to me that they wouldn't pay to anybody else? Somebody might say, well, you bought a billboard. You wanted people to pay attention to you. No, I wanted people to pay attention to CrossPoint. Not me. My name's not on the billboard. My name's not on the website. Ain't about me. What is it that Undertaker told Bret Hart? Everything's not about you, Bret! Like, it's not a good impression of the Undertaker either. But it's an impression of Scott Hall doing an impression of The Undertaker. You know, if I didn't do Christian Commute, I guess I'd just sit around and watch wrestling all the time. But I'm a serious guy, right? I don't just sit around and watch wrestling. In my opinion, the leadership of First Baptist Church of Cartersville, Georgia, has paid an inordinate amount of attention to my social media, have discussed with one another my social media, namely my Facebook, and have sought to do things within their power to limit the exposure of my social media and the endorsement of things I say on social media. So some of you guys are friends with me on Facebook. Some of you guys are. You're going to get periodic posts if you're on my Facebook feed about the purple haze and how no church should have a purple haze and how nobody should be playing Hillsong and how making church into entertainment profanes the worship service and how nobody should go to XYZ or do XYZ. Okay? I have a pretty big readership. And I really haven't had any responses. I mean, I could probably count them on my hand if I could count them at all. From people who attend First Baptist Church to what I say about church stuff. Or the eldership. But a few months ago, one of my friends who was employed at the church, and not in a ministerial thing, just this is one of the staff secretary ladies. And she told me this. And it made it hard for me to even want to go back there because of the way they treated my friend. I wouldn't want to work for a place that treated someone like that. And it's a church. So my friend told me that the church leadership told her that they would fire her from her job at the church, which is some kind of admin work, if she ever again liked one of my Facebook posts. Now, get this. There is no Facebook post in all this time I've been going to First Baptist saying, First Baptist did this wrong. First Baptist shouldn't do this. First Baptist, First Baptist, First Baptist. They're not there. There's general commentaries on church life like you would get on this podcast. A lot about Alabama, a lot about the Braves, a lot about my soccer team, and a lot about my basketball teams. Pictures of my kids, my sports teams that I coach, my sports teams that I watch. A lot of I hate abortion, it's awful, murder, stop it. And a lot of whatever happened to holiness. Okay? And my questions are designed to make people think and ask questions. I don't just get on there and say, Hillsong sucks. I get on there and say, Hillsong is a false church that teaches people the prosperity gospel and deceives them. Their songs oftentimes are not biblical. Ask your pastor why y'all play Hillsong in your church. Ask your elders, do they know this? Because I don't want people to just scroll by. I want people to say, let me check out this link myself. I'll go to Protestia. I'll go to Dissenter. I'll go to Church Watch Central. I'll go to Evangelical Dark Web. You know, let me check this out myself, and then I'm going to bring it up with my Sunday school teacher or the deacons at my church or the elders at my church. I want people asking questions. I want people engaged. Tony Evans came to speak at the Georgia Baptist Convention. Are you a Georgia Baptist? Why are we letting Tony Evans? Just stuff like that. Ask. Stuff like, are your taxes too high? Well, ask your congressman why. I'm not complaining about taxes. I'm saying ask your congressman why they're so high. It's the kind of post that generates conversation. And guess what? It can generate disagreement. When people have a different opinion than somebody else, you're going to get a disagreement. How you handle that disagreement, especially as brothers and sisters in Christ, says a lot about our faith. And when I learned that there was somebody who was a member of the church staff who was told, you're going to get fired if you don't like, if you click like, click, 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 we're going to fire you. Click, click, click. If you like one of his Facebook posts, I mean, not only was it personally insulting to me, because, like, why are y'all Big Brother on my Facebook post? If you don't like one of my Facebook posts, click on it and say, I don't like this, you're wrong. Send me a message. Interact with me. Spam call, let me get rid of it. If you don't like one of my Facebook posts, interact with me. Let's talk. Iron sharpens iron. And let me say this, because I want to be in fairness. The leadership might have had other problems with this employee's attitude. I don't know. I wasn't in the HR meetings. It's tough to be an employee of a church and a member of a church, because you have opinions as the member of the church, but you're also you have bosses and supervisors. You're employed by the church. Because when you're a Baptist and you have soul freedom, you say, I've got soul freedom. I'm going to go to the church meeting and I'm going to express my displeasure or my pleasure with this, and we're going to work it out. And if we're Baptists, we're going to appoint a committee to study it for the next 10 years before we do anything. But I guess the idea, if you're a low-level employee, you better not question the status quo, even if it's about a matter of doctrine and holiness and church stuff. And listen, if you want to fire somebody for job performance, fire somebody. But it is unconscionable to me for an employer to tell an employee, do not like this person's Facebook post. If you click like, we're going to fire you. That sounds secretive, constraining. It sounds like wanting to hide things in the dark. It doesn't seem transparent. Because the Bible says everything will be brought to light. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, right? That's what we want to walk in the light as He is in the light. Telling somebody don't like a Facebook post or you're fired seems pretty low down. That's just my opinion. Yours might be different. Now, obviously, if you're employed by somebody and you got on social media and said, my employer stinks, my employer does this wrong, my employer does that wrong, you're going to get fired. But to like a post on social media that the administration of the church doesn't like, how dare you like that post? What's wrong with you people, as R.C. Sproul would say? So unbeknownst to me, I'm just sitting there. My social media is under scrutiny. Now, a few months back, I made a very, call it harsh, you could call it vulgar, Facebook post about Hillsong. And I basically said that Hillsong was excrement. We all know where excrement comes from. And that whoever takes part in putting this excrement all over the church is either a part of the digestive system, the digestive tract, or just is too unqualified to know. And the post was in the context of the song I Speak Jesus, which is a song by I forget the lady's name. She was the global leader of Hillsong Worship, which means she's the devil's handmaiden. Seth, you've never met her. Well, I know Goebbels is the devil's butler. What's a handmaiden? Is a butler the same thing as a handmaiden? Footman? I don't know. All right. You never met Goebbels. No, but he was in the SS. I don't have to have met him, okay? His job was to be the head of the SS. He's a propaganda man for the SS. It's Goebbels. I've never met Goebbels and Himmler. I know they're bad. If you're the global leader of anything at Hillsong, you are automatically bad. You're the devil's handmaiden. So she puts out this song, I Speak Jesus. It's Pentecostal nonsense. I explained how this song was Pentecostal nonsense. Well, they had, and I explained how I heard it with my daughter, and I had to explain to her later. I don't go to church to have to explain to my daughter what's wrong with something and why that shouldn't have been done. And I did hear that song at First Baptist. I did not say they played this crap song at First Baptist and it's crap, First Baptist, crap, crap, crap. Well, anyway, the music minister's mother is friends with me on Facebook. She saw that and was very upset. Went to the elders, or somehow her being upset, the news got wind to the elders, and one of them came to me and said, Seth, you need to apologize for this. And as it is up to me, be at peace with all men. All right, you know what? I've offended this nice lady. Can I be frank with you? I would fire her son-in-law if it was up to me, because he plays those types of songs. I would, if I was in charge tomorrow, I've already told you guys this, I would fire immediately every music minister who plays those types of songs, because they should know better. It might be never play that song again, or one like it again. You know, because they could be ignorant. Maybe they don't know how bad the... Like, you know how everybody on the podcast sort of immediately knew how bad Himmler was when I mentioned Himmler and Goebbels? We just know who they are. How are you out in the world right now and you don't know how bad Elevation, Hillsong, and Bethel are? Do you not have the internet? Do you not have Amazon? You don't have Hulu and Amazon Prime? Like, how do you not know that? Especially if you're in the business. So here's what I did. I went and apologized to the lady. Not only that, I went and talked to her son and I apologized to him. And we actually had a very good conversation. And I was like, well, I think I've made friends with this guy now. This is cool. And I liked what he had to say about his perspective of being a music minister. I'm not going to share that private conversation on Facebook or on my podcast, but I would say it went very well. And you know what? He wasn't mad at me. He wasn't. But I don't think that satisfied some of the elders. Like, they were really out for blood, okay? And when you're out for blood, when somebody's out for your blood, you can never give them enough blood if somebody's out for blood. And I had gone, my Sunday school teacher called me, hey, you really need to go apologize to this guy. Like, okay, I will. And then I went out of town for a soccer tournament. And I came, well, you didn't apologize to this guy. I'm like, yeah, I know, I was out of town. I'm going to apologize to him Sunday. And I did. And even that wasn't enough. Another one of the elders called me. He's like, hey, me and this other elder want to meet with you at church. And I think he said, we want to hear you. I think his words were something like, I want to hear your heart on this. And I asked him very plainly, I said, do you really want to hear why I'm so passionate about the type of music churches play? Do you really want to hear that? Because I said, I'll go to any Baptist church in America and tell them that. I certainly don't mind coming to tell you. And quite frankly, I would be happy if I'm thinking this in my head, I'd be happy if somebody would give me a voice and actually ask me to say, Seth, what do you know about this? Tell me what you know. One time, when the church was in between pastors after Jeremy Morton left and they were going to hire somebody else, somebody, I think he was on the committee, came to me and said, are you a cessationist? What do you think about cessationism? And I told him my opinion on it. And basically it was my opinion is, don't get a continuous pastor. Okay. Because he knows I'm a theologian. He knows I pay attention. It's like, Fast Times at Ridgemont High when nobody likes Mike DeMone? And then Jefferson comes and he wants Earth, Wind, and Fire tickets. And he says he knows where to come when he wants some tickets. You may not like me, but you know where to come when you need some tickets. So I'm real happy that somebody would be willing to listen to me. But I asked him, quite frankly, I said, do you really want to know my opinion on this and where I'm coming from? Or do you consider this the second step in Matthew 18? Because my Sunday school teacher's already come to talk to me, and you want to sit me down before two or three witnesses and tell me I've sinned. And he's like, well, it's that. He, like, real mealy-mouthed, stuttering told me that. And I told that guy, I said, you are disingenuous. You're talking out of both sides of your mouth. I'm not going to come speak with you. I said, you need to get up in front of the church on Sunday morning with all the other elders and apologize for ever playing that garbage music with a light show and haste machines at them. You don't need to call me and tell me to apologize for a Facebook post. And granted, remember, I already know. They don't know I know, but I already know that they're telling somebody, we'll fire you if you like his Facebook post. You don't need to be monitoring my Facebook. You're mad about a Facebook post that I made. You're profaning the Lord's worship service. You and those other elders need to get up there and apologize, because that weight is on you before God. I'm not an elder. You are. I'm not in the care of souls. You are. So don't call me again unless you really want to hear me out. And I said, if you do want to hear me out, go talk to the other guy and then call me back. He never did. So now I know that I'm in their crosshairs. And do you not think I want to be gone? Do you not think I'm like, if you don't like me and you're trying to get me and you're trying to tell people not to click on me, I don't want to be around you. But now I've been here for 5 years. How do I extricate myself from that situation? What am I supposed to go tell my daughter and my son, or my daughters and son? Hey, we have to leave church because the elder is a double speaker and he's out to get daddy because he didn't like what he said on Facebook and they want us gone. Like, how do I have that conversation with my 10-year-old? So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to be cool. I'm going to play it cool. Na 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 na. Play it cool, real cool. Da na 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 na. You know, if you guys ever sat in the office with me, you'd have fun because we'd sing the entire score to West Side Story. Because that's how I roll. But I just gonna play it cool. And let me tell you what happened. The day, the Sunday that I was going to apologize to the music minister and did, he's doing his thing in first service. So here, the music minister goes and he leads the worship, the singing, I should say. He leads the singing. Then it's time for the preaching. He leaves. He'll come out to the lobby. He might grab a cup of coffee, talk to some people, and hang out until it's time for the second service. I don't know if there's some green room he goes to, but I know that's his routine because I see him out there every Sunday. Seth, why would you have never said anything to him every Sunday if you had such a problem with him? Because I told them when I went there, your problems are your problems, and I'm not going to make a fuss about your problems. Well, Seth, you said something about I Speak Jesus. Everybody's singing that song in every church, in every town. It's pervasive. When you say, I think AIDS is a problem, you're not talking about the homosexual with AIDS sitting next to you. You're talking about how there's all these people with AIDS and they're real sick and they need help and they need to stop catching AIDS. So I wait there for him in my usual spot in the lobby. That's what I don't go to their Hillsong singing service. I drink tea in the lobby before my Sunday school. That's what I do. Not bothering anybody. Okay? So that's the day, and he did come out, and we had a really good conversation, like I said. I would go have lunch with that guy. Absolutely. I'd call him for lunch or coffee now, but I don't want him to get in trouble for being seen with me, quite frankly. He's got a family to take care of. I don't want him in trouble for being friendly to me. Now, I'm in the process where, like, I have other people that I am friends with there, whether on staff or not. Like, I don't want to call and hang out with them because I'm afraid they're going to get in trouble. I don't know what to say. The best way for me to be friend with that person is just not talk to him, because I don't want him to get in trouble for being friends with me. But here's something particular that happened on that particular day, I sit in the same spot every day. There's a chair, there's two chairs with a table in between them, right in front of the little TV where they broadcast Pastor Kyle preaching. And unless somebody gets there and sits in my chair, I sit there. If somebody sits in my chair, there's another big table with four chairs around it. Okay? That's where I hang out during the 10 a.m. hour. That's what I do. Usually the same people are lurking around. There's like a, sort of like a little whole community or a handful of people who, for whatever reason, don't go to the service or they only go to the... I don't know. And sometimes I'll talk to them. And sometimes the security people are there. The volunteers for security, you know, they'll mill around. And I'm pretty familiar with the guy whose section is that security. Like, I know who's supposed to be there and who's supposed to not be there. Because I go there all the time. And on this particular Sunday, I saw a man who I did not recognize in the area. He's not usually there. And he sits down in a chair near me. And he didn't have an earpiece in. A lot of security people have earpieces in. He sits down in the chair near me. He's got one of these metal engraved coffee cups, a laser engraved big coffee tumbler or mug, whatever you want to call it. Sits it on the table. And do you know what's on that tumbler? A big Masonic G. You know how they do the compass? The compass with the G? The big Masonic G. And everybody who knows my history with the Masons knows I saw a guy at church once, the chaplain of the Masonic Lodge. His name was Jim, and he was wearing a Mason hat in the children's hall. And I saw him one time, and I said, "Get that pagan symbol off of your head in God's house." And it caused a scene, and it caused some debate. Most people just don't want any conflict. Oh, there's a money changer table there? Don't say anything about it. Uh-oh, here comes Seth. Kick. Down it goes. Could have I handled it differently and more calmly? I guess I could have. People know that story. And people know I gave my word to First Baptist. I said, "You're Masons. Or you're Masons." That's what I told the pastor. I'm not going to cause a problem here. I'm not going to be a member. Your problems are your problems. Your Masons are your Masons. When I first started going there, there was he was eventually the worshipful master of the lodge. He was on security there. He's a law enforcement officer. I haven't seen that guy in like 3 years. I don't know what became of him. But I know, I've asked about him, but he hadn't been around. But when I first got there, I saw that Mason. I was like, here we are. Different place, same face. Here's another Mason. And a lot of Masons are police officers and firefighters. And so those kind of people sort of lend themselves to being security at church. Also, those kind of people, Masonry is their religion, so they don't want to go in and hear the sermon they don't agree with. So while their family, while the, what do we call the non-Masons? Profanes. While the profanes go into the worship service, they'll stand around outside and do some kind of service or volunteer work. And let me tell you something. Seth, did you ever talk to that Mason? Yeah, I'd already talked to him before. I called him because I went to the Mason website. They got their pictures and emails on there. I called him and talked to him. And from the results of that conversation, I didn't believe he was a believer. And I told his pastor that. I told Jeremy, the pastor at the time, I told him that. I'm talking about the Masons once. Okay? But that's before I said your Masons are your problems. And eventually that guy disappeared. And may I say this? I have heard that guy, I don't know if he's the worshipful master anymore, do the Masonic funeral service. I've watched him stand by a dead person's grave, my friend's grave, and say, "Let this person into the celestial lodge on account of his pious and virtual life." And otherwise, "Let this person enter heaven who's a master mason on account of his pious and virtuous life. Read good works, not blood of Jesus. Read false gospel." I hate the false gospel of masonry. And no one should have a Mason as a member of a church or doing anything in church, because that guy, I saw him with my own eyes, I heard him with my own ears preach a false gospel. And if I hadn't promised your Masons or your problem, I would have tipped his table over. I would have went right up to him. What do you think you're doing in the Lord's house, you false preacher? Now, I'm just a regular layperson. A true shepherd should have shepherded that guy out. Shepherd him to repentance or shepherd him to the door. Now, he's been gone for years. There is another Mason at FBC I know about. He runs a sanitation business. I never said anything to him because I said I wouldn't. So those were the two Masons I knew about. Guys, I may not say anything to your Masons, but you better believe I know who they are. So there's a guy I have never noticed before in my area with his Mason cup, and I'm thinking, doesn't this be it all? I'm being scrutinized by these elders. They are out for blood. They, you know, they are paying attention to me. They want me gone. And here is a Mason sitting right in front of me, and I can't say anything to him because I said I wouldn't. I can't strike up a conversation with this person. I said their Masons are their problems. I'm just going to sit here like I said I would and wait for my Sunday school class. I'm going to keep my word, and that's what I did. And it just kind of grinded at me. And I said, why have I put myself in this situation? Well, the right thing to do is to say something to this guy about being a Mason. That's the right thing to do. If the cost of me sitting here and drinking this tea while my kids go to Sunday school is that I can't share my faith with this person, the cost is too high. But I said I wouldn't, and I'm going to keep my word. And I'm thinking there like, well, this is a providential moment. And then they're like, wait a minute. And it dawns on me. This guy's a member of the security team. And he's here while I'm being scrutinized with the biggest fish hook that you could put in front of Seth Dunn, a Mason cup. The guy who stops his podcast every time he sees a Mason sticker on the side of the road on the highway driving back to pray about the Mason. The guy who sends Mason's books to people's house if he sees their car pull in to a driveway with a Mason sticker. The guy who drove from downtown Cartersville to U-Harley because somebody had a Mason sticker and he followed him and he wanted to give him a gospel tract. And there's that fish hook sitting right there. And then I realized, this isn't some providence to make me think. This is a guy on the security team. Not only is it a guy on the security team, it's a guy on the security team who I've never seen in this section before in 2 years. Not only is it a guy on the security team I've never seen in this section before, for the first time ever while attending this church, I've seen a Mason G. And this, I don't think, is an accident. So let me put two things before you. Either one, they have a Mason on security, because who else would have a Mason coffee cup? My coffee cups reflect me. They have Snoopy on them because I like Snoopy. Okay. Either they have a Mason serving in security, which is wrong in and of itself, or, and this is what I think is more likely, that on a day when I was scrutinized, on a day when they were looking for an excuse to have me gone, listen, they didn't want me to make up with the music minister. They didn't want me to make up with a lady who was offended. Remember, when you're out for blood, there's not enough blood. They wanted to entrap me. I really believe that. If that security guy who I did not recognize was put there on purpose for me to ask him about that, then they were trying to entrap me. I don't know that for a fact, but all the evidence points that way. It only points two ways. Either it's a guy who shouldn't have had a Mason cup and been on security, or it's something even worse, that they're trying to entrap somebody into making a scene so that they would have some kind of justification to tell him to leave. Because listen, what they knew was when they asked me to leave, it would upset people. And I almost told one of the guys that we went to lunch with, the lawyer, I almost told him, like, did you consider that the median income of Bartow County is $55,000 and the average evangelical gives 2.5%? So did you multiply 55,000 times 2.5% times the number of people who would either not attend or give here when they find out what you did to me? Because Nickels and Noses people play Hillsong, and Nickels and Noses people think like that. I didn't bother to say it. I didn't want to waste my words. And I didn't tell him that I knew that Mason coffee cup was there to entrap me. And by the way, you live and learn. When Bruton Parker and the charlatan fake Muslim Ergun Canner came to, or fake jihadist, he really was, did used to be a Muslim, he was just a fake jihadist. When the big fat liar Ergun Canner, who was appointed as the president of Bruton Parker University with a $120,000 Georgia Baptist salary, came to First Baptist Church when I was a member there, I went to the table of Bruton Parker and I said, are you with Bruton Parker? And the guy said, no, are you? Which should have tipped me off. Like, if I was with Bruton Parker, why would I be asking you that? And I said, no, I wouldn't be a part of Bruton Parker. Ergun Canner's the president. Because Ergun Canner was preaching that day, and I wanted to tell people about him. He pulled me over to the side. Plain clothes, secret security. He was there. It was a setup. Because that's how First Baptist Church of Woodstock works. And First Baptist Church of XYZ has the same security training as all the other ones. So this is what I'm telling you. This is what I'm asking you. Do you think it is godly and fitting, befitting of a bunch of shepherds and church security people, to try and entrap a man on a Sunday morning who desired nothing but to go to church on the Lord's Day, drop his kids off from Sunday school, and have a Sunday school lesson with like-minded believers? And if you start to think, well, they would never do anything like that, well, aren't these the type of people who told somebody they'd get fired for liking a Facebook post? God forbid somebody who has a different opinion than them has a voice. And that's ultimately what I think this is about. As long as I'm there in Sunday school, I have a voice. When the teacher says, you know, what do you think this Bible verse is about? Or what do you think the lesson is here? And I say, well, this is a lesson. People think, they see him and they say, oh man, that guy knows his Bible. Well, look at that guy right there. He faithfully comes every week. He brings his children in here. His children know the Bible. He knows the Bible. If he has something to say, I might listen. If you have clients, you don't want people influencing those clients to disagree with you. If you're a salesman, lawyer, whatever, accountant. If you're a doctor, you don't want somebody to go to a different doctor's office, okay? I'm not in a competition for anybody's hearts and minds. I am a simple accountant. A simple accountant trying to make my way in the universe. I'm a simple man trying to make my way in the universe. Another impression for you. And I don't really think that elders of a certain age consider social media. They think, well, we'll just get rid of this problem. You know, this is it. We'll be done with it. I didn't tell you guys I noticed the security plant. And I didn't tell you guys I noticed that y'all were trying to hook me and bait me and entrap me when I just tried to go to church and tried to go to Sunday school. I didn't tell you that because your problems are your problems. And I don't think you can solve your problems, and I wouldn't bring one to your attention. So add that to the things you need to go apologize for in front of the church, okay? If you're a member of that church or any church, I just want to ask you a question. Are you a church member? And if the answer of this question, how many church conferences have you been to? If the answer is zero, you're being derelict in your duty to your church. I'm not asking you to speak with your feet or your money at that church or any other church. All I'm asking you to do, listeners, whether local or national, is make sure you know who your elders are. Hold them accountable for godly behavior. And let me tell you something. It doesn't matter how many kids they've adopted, or how much money they've donated, or how many Sunday school classes they've taught, or how many Saturday cleanups they've been to. Okay? If there is a culture of you can't have a different opinion, if there's a culture of basically stalking people's Facebook page, my Facebook page, if you're my friend, you can look. But if you're not there to be my friend, why are you looking? You know what stalking somebody's social media is when you look at it, and you look at all your pictures, and you look at everything they say, but you never say anything to them. You just sort of watch. Sort of like a Facebook peeping Tom. You surveilled me in person and on social media. You threatened the livelihood of somebody who dared to like a Facebook post of mine. You sent someone to talk to me to try and convince me to leave without having to kick me out. And then you kick me out when all your plans failed because I made a billboard trying to warn my home city, my town, my neighbors. The Bible says, second greatest commandment, love your neighbors. I was trying to love my neighbors and warn them about what you wouldn't warn them about, quite frankly, what you try to parrot and copy to some extent. That's what it says about you. And if you think my billboard was too far, I just hope people can look at me and say, there is an Israelite with no guile. Like when Jesus was at Nathanael, Jesus saw Nathanael sitting by the tree. There is an Israelite with no guile. I don't have plans within plans within plans. I'm not trying to trick anybody. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm not trying to be mean to anybody. I just want people to listen and ask questions. If you're against listening and asking questions, maybe you belong in a George Orwell novel. If you really and truly did set me up for entrapment, you owe me an apology, and you owe the church an apology for your behavior, because that's not what shepherding is. That's not what security is. That's devious. Don't expect a blog screed. You're not going to get one. This is my side of the story for whoever wants to listen. And there's a lot of people who do. If you go to First Baptist Church, I do not hold anything against you. You're just trying to go to church. You have the same situation with your kids that I have with my kids, and your relationships that I have with my relationships. Don't do anything on my account. But please, if you learn anything from these four episodes, whether you're here in Cartersville or whether you're national or somewhere else, is please don't be a consumer at the church. Don't just show up. Don't just see something that's wrong and you know it's wrong and ignore it. Hold people accountable. Hold yourself accountable. And please make your church better by going to the church conferences and insisting on transparency. If you don't know where the money is spent, don't give. If they won't tell you where it's spent and you're obligated, you wouldn't date somebody like that, would you? You husbands, look after your wives. You wives, support your husbands. And pray that God will reconcile the people who need to be reconciled. Thanks for listening to Christian Commute. Lord willing, I'll be back with you again tomorrow about some interesting national topic that doesn't have anything to do with me. And boy, doesn't this ring true today? Remember, dear listeners, God bless you, and Christianity is not about getting saved. It's about being saved. And sometimes, being saved is hard.